Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. Let's stand together for our scripture reading time, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 26, and we'll go down through verse number 28 for our scripture reading this morning. Appreciated the good music this morning about God's amazing grace, and I'm looking forward now to reading and then preaching from Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This morning we're going to learn about God's Holy Spirit's power to intercede and to help us in our prayers to the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for everyone gathered here today. I thank you for those who are guests for the first time, Lord, coming into this place. And I pray that their hearts would be encouraged. I thank you for faithful members of this church. And Lord, we just ask that wherever one would be on their spiritual journey this morning, that today would be a giant step forward for them. If that means for some, Lord, taking the step of salvation, simply stepping into a relationship with you by faith, we pray that today would be that day. We pray for those who know you, Lord, that today would be a day of understanding your love and your power in our lives. And we'll thank you for what you're about to do as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Former President Ronald Reagan liked to tell the story about a young news reporter. He was really trying to get a start in the news business, and his editor called him up one day. He said, "There's a terrible fire out at Palos Verdes, and we want you to get some pictures of the fire." And he said, "What I want you to do is go down to the airport." He said, "There's going to be a plane ready for you there. I want you to get in that plane. I want you to fly up above the fire and take several shots for the paper tomorrow. We want to really cover this story with the best of our ability." Well, the young reporter was excited with the opportunity. He grabbed his camera. He got in his car. He rushed down to the airport. Sure enough, he walked out towards the tarmac. There was a plane fired up. Engines were revved up. And he got into the passenger seat, and they took off. And as they got up, going about 5,000 feet or so, the reporter looked over at the man there in the pilot's seat. And he said, "Now," he said, "here's what I want you to do." He said, "I've got my camera ready." He said, "I want you to turn over towards the smoke over there. I want you to level off when we get close enough. I'm going to take some pictures and so forth." And that's when the photographer heard those very unsettling words. The man in the pilot seat said, "Aren't you the instructor?" Now, trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's leading is like trying to fly to Palos Verdes or Catalina or somewhere else without a pilot in the seat. Every one of us need to learn how to rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of my favorite verses is in your introduction to the notes this morning. It's Romans 8 and verse 1, and it says these words: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Don't you love the first part of that verse? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How many of you that are saved this morning are thankful that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ? There's no condemnation. We have freedom from the law. We have freedom from sin and death. We are the sons and daughters of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The fact is, however, though, that we are still living in a very sinful world this morning. While we are redeemed, while we are the children of God through Christ, we are living in a sinful world, and God commands us to walk in the Spirit, to live according to His Spirit's plan, not according to this world, not according to the desires of our flesh. And in order to help us with this spiritual walk, the Bible teaches that when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our life. We saw a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have learned in previous weeks, the Bible says we are to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says we are to yield to the Spirit. The Bible says we're not to quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit, in turn, will comfort us. He will guide us. He will direct us into a Christ-honoring life. This morning, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, who lives within the lives of every believer, has a desire this morning to help us with a matter known as intercession. That is, He wants to help carry our burden to the Lord. He wants to help carry our burden to the throne of grace in heaven. He helps us with our prayer. He helps us carry the burdens of our lives. He is the comforter. He is the intercessor for the believer. Today, as we learn about God's power to intercede, I want you to learn about the help of the Holy Spirit provided within the heart of every Christian. If you have your outline this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, that this help is a heavenly help. It's a heavenly help. Now, people seek help in a lot of ways. Some people pay psychiatrists for their assistance and counseling. Some people go to counselors, and others buy drugs, and some try alcohol and other such forms of vice to try to ease their pain. But God says, I have help for you, and my help is a heavenly help. It is the help from my Holy Spirit living within you. Notice in verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also, what's the next word say? Helpeth our infirmities. Let's say that together, that line, ready to begin. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So this heavenly help is given to us, first of all, to strengthen us. God says, in your life, you're going to have some weak moments. You're going to have some trying days. You're going to have days where your heart is breaking, where the tears won't stop flowing. And I want you to know that I'm giving to you my Spirit. He is an equal person of the Godhead. He is going to indwell you, and He is going to strengthen you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 gives a little more light on this subject. Notice it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God places us into the family of God. He seals us until the day of our redemption. And He says, I'm going to give you the Spirit that cries out and says, Abba, Father. That reminds you that you're a part of God's family. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now let's think about that for a moment, being the children of God, having a heavenly Father that wants to help us and strengthen us. Moms and dads, those of you that have had children in this room this morning, you would testify to me that when you have observed your children with the flu or maybe mumps or chicken pox or whatever your kids came down with, every one of us would say it's disheartening, it's burdensome to see our children in such pain. It's never a joy, it's always a grief to see a child or a loved one in pain and struggling through. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is there to help our infirmity. And the word here, helpeth, means to lay hold or to take hold upon or with another. And even as a mother would cradle her child in his fever and in the flu and in the difficult time, and even as a mother or father would take and cherish a child and help a child during that infirmity, there is a God in heaven who sees and knows of our infirmities. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God helpeth with our infirmities. He is the one who comes along and says, you can make it another step. You can go along the way. I am with you. I am with you. Every one of us want to see that for our own children. But God says, I am your Abba, Father. and I want to come alongside of you and help you make it through. Now, most of you know that in our family, we have a new member of our family, our first grandchild, Camden. We've been trying to help him. He's small in size, just a little fella, just 8 months old. We've been trying to help him learn how to crawl, and everyone's tried. We've tried so many things. We put things in front of him on the carpet. We'll put food in front of him. And we'll put his favorite toys in front of him. We put the kitten. We have a little kitten in front of him. But all he's been able to do for weeks and weeks is crawl backwards. He can only crawl in reverse. And yesterday evening, I was going over my notes and praying, getting ready for today. And Danielle, our daughter, brought Camden in. So I put him down on the floor in my study there. As I've been doing lately, I put something in front of him, try to motivate him. This time I put a golf ball in front of him. And I've been trying to help him along, just a little guy, help him along. Well, let me share it with you right now. I think the fellows might have it. We'll just see how he did last night. Oh, he was happy and we were happy too. You see, we're all there saying, come on, you can make it. Come alongside him. Come on, just push a little harder. You can make it. You're going to do it. And I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who loves us so much more than we love our children. He loves us so much more than we love our grandchildren. And he knows we have weaknesses. And he knows we sometimes have trouble getting through the day. And like a parent or a grandparent, and with such greater love, God the Father through his Spirit says, I'm going to come alongside of you when you're weak. And I'm going to help you in the time of your infirmity. You see, all of us have infirmity. All of us are weak. All of us need the infilling of the Spirit to guide and direct us. Andrew Murray wrote much about this life called the Spirit-filled life. He said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and His love. He says, I want to help you with your infirmity. I want to fill you full of my Spirit. The word infirmity means our weakness. It means the infirmity or weakness of one's body. And every one of us have such need today for God's strengthening to help us take another step, to help us make it through another day. When God speaks here in Romans 8:26 about infirmity, He no doubt is speaking of the overall condition of fallen man. All of us are living in a difficult age, in a difficult day. All of us have battles that we must fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are infirmities today that we must fight, but not in our strength, only in the power of the Holy Spirit. In general, we are weak and infirmed with continual battles to face. All of us need God's strength. Now, sometimes in our lives, we might think, well, you know, my job's okay, my finances are okay, my kid's okay, no one in our family is sick. And we may not really realize how much we need this heavenly help. We may become a bit self-sufficient in our mind. But how many of you have learned that right about the time you think you've got it made, a set of circumstances comes that reminds you, you know what? You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help once again. You're going to need the interceding power and help of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul spoke about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had been stricken with a tremendous disease. Many scholars believe it was a disease of the eyes. And in fact, he went to the Lord 3 times. And by the way, contrary to the teaching of some false teachers, it is not always God's will that everyone be healed. And if there ever was a candidate for divine healing, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Would you not agree with that? He asked 3 times for his healing. But instead of giving healing, God wanted to give him a measure of His grace and the power of His Spirit. We read about that in 2 Corinthians 12:8. It says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me," Jesus said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Say that with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One more time. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Why? Because Romans 8:26 says that when we have infirmities, the Holy Spirit comes to help us with our infirmities. Paul said, I would have never known the divine touch of God. I would have never known the power, the strength, the encouragement. I would have never known the encouraging word of God had I not had some trials in my life, had I not had that weakness. And you see, as long as you think you're strong and as long as you think you're self-sufficient, you will go along in this life, but maybe without knowing the real power of God in your life. But Paul said, when I finally realized that I was weak, it was then that God's power rested upon my life. Now, I've never met anybody who would say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Most people today are not real happy about trials and difficulty. But Paul had come to that place in his life where he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, if this is what it took to get me to where I needed to be in my walk with God, then I will most gladly thank Him for it. God says, I want to strengthen you by my Spirit. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But notice, secondly, he says, not only do I have help to strengthen you, but he says, I want to also guide you. He has strength to guide us during these times of difficulty. Verse 26, the Bible says once again, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit at certain times in our lives is prepared even to guide our prayer life and to help us to know how to pray. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where you were so overwhelmed by the challenges and trials that you faced. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where the news was so difficult that all you knew how to do was simply cry and weep, and you had prayed and prayed to God but didn't really know what else to say. You didn't know how to verbalize to God the brokenness of your heart. Well, the Bible says that at those moments, the Spirit of God will help us to pray as we ought. He will make intercession for us. And the Bible speaks of this in Romans 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Frankly, if you are not saved today, this service is foolishness unto you. You are a natural man who does not possess the Spirit. But if you have been born again by the Spirit, then God says, I can guide you when you don't know where to go. I can help you pray when you don't know what to say. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will help you. You are not alone in this life. I am going to strengthen you in your time of infirmity. I am going to guide you when you don't know how to pray, when all you know is emptiness of soul and bitterness of soul, and you cry out to me without words, God says, I am going to verbalize for you at the throne of grace what needs to be said by my Spirit. Many years ago, there was an accomplished organist who was known for rousing renderings of all the popular numbers. And it was back in a day when someone would be in a back room and they would be pumping up an airbag so that all of the wind could get into the pipes of the organ. And as this particular gal was playing her concert, the billows were being blown and the pipes were being provided the air by the efforts in the back. And she came to the point where she would now play her last number. And so she stood up and everyone had been clapping and she announced her last number. And she said, I shall now play. And she announced the number. She sat back down. She stretched her arms. She got ready. She put her hands down on the keys and nothing happened. Well, she was a little frustrated. She tried again and nothing happened. Well, a moment later, someone walked out from behind the platform and said, why don't you say, we shall now play? And apparently the person in the back pumping all the air into the pipes wanted a little bit of credit for the solo that was now being announced. Can I be honest with you? There's not a person in here who really walks with the Lord who can say definitively, I'm going to do this for God, I'm going to do that for God. But if you're growing this year in the understanding of the Holy Spirit's ministry, you'll learn to understand this fact. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. It's by His Spirit that we witness. It's by His Spirit that we sing. It's by His Spirit you stay married. It's by His Spirit you tell someone about Christ. It's by His Spirit you forgive. It's by His Spirit you learn how to pray effectively. It's all because of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Holy Spirit will guide our prayers. And may I say, the Holy Spirit understands our pain. There are times when people say, "How's it going?" You don't even know how to verbalize it. There are times when people will try to come along and figure out the circumstance, and you don't have the ability to explain what you're feeling within your soul. But you don't have to explain to an all-knowing God who already understands what is in your heart. Notice the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Here we see, as we pray and as we have a broken heart and don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit has empathy. The Holy Spirit brings the groanings of our heart and the burdens of our heart before the throne of grace. He understands what it means to suffer deeply. The Bible says in John 11 and verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled." You understand that Jesus Christ, who groaned in the Spirit because of the loss of loved ones and the pain that was being experienced by His disciples, that He knew how to empathize. And the Holy Spirit likewise understands when your heart is broken and helps to convey the feeling of your heart before the God to whom we pray. The Bible says in verse 26, He makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is not a reference to some type of an ecstatic gibberish or the unknown tongues that some would try to force upon a new convert. This is not talking about the phenomenon related to first century revelation. This is speaking about the burden of a heart being carried to the throne of grace by the Holy Spirit of God. God says, "I want you to understand when you walk through the valleys of life that there is one who will offer heavenly help. And that one indwells you. And that one wants to guide you and strengthen you. And His name is the Holy Spirit of God." The heavenly help of the Holy Spirit. All of us, when we walk through the valley, need the heavenly help of God's Holy Spirit. But notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit not only provides heavenly help, He not only helps us with our infirmities, but secondly, He provides a holy knowledge. Now, it's one thing to have encouragement. It's another thing to have encouragement according to knowledge, and the knowledge of God in particular. Would you notice with me, please, in verse 27 what it says? "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Now, God's Holy Spirit, first of all, knows our need. He has knowledge to know our need. May I say to you that when you're going through stress, when you're stressed out and going through the trials, you may not even know your own heart. You may not even know what's going on with your own emotions. I have seen many Christians get in a point of stress and make irrational decisions. And all of a sudden, they go out and buy something they shouldn't buy. They go out and say something they shouldn't say. They go out and move somewhere they should have never moved to in the first place. All of a sudden, they start acting like a ping pong ball in a bowling alley, going back and forth because they don't even know their own heart. By the way, how many of you would admit that stress sometimes has a way of making us a little foggy in the way we think? And here we see a truth, that when we don't even know our own heart, there is a God in heaven who searches our heart and who knows how to pray what is best when we may not even know what to say. And this is what it says in verse 27. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." God Almighty examines our heart. That's why the psalmist would often pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 26:2. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." You see, friend, when you don't even know what's going on in your own heart, You may say, well, I'm okay. I think I'm going in the right direction. But in reality, you go in the wrong direction. When you don't really know what's happening in your life, maybe through a midlife crisis, as some would call it, or maybe through a time of stress because of sickness or loss of employment or all of these things together. When you just say, I just don't know what's going on in my life. Hear me this morning. There is a God in heaven who knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart. And you would be wise to seek His wisdom and seek His guidance. He says, I have knowledge of your need. But notice, secondly, He has the ability then to intercede on our behalf. Sometimes you might say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what's wrong in my life. Lord, I don't understand why I feel the way I feel. But God does. And the Bible says in verse 27, because He maketh intercession for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, I don't understand my heart. I don't even understand my needs, but You know my heart. And God, if there's anything in my heart that's wicked and wrong and sinful, Lord, show it to me that I might confess it. And God, once my heart is right, I don't even then often know what to exactly ask You for, but I ask You, Spirit of God, to help me in my prayer and help me to do the right thing and show me how I ought to pray and what I need. And the Spirit of the living God conveys not only your burden, but He conveys your need to the throne of grace that your prayer would be answered according to the will of the Father in heaven. As Jesus Himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, listen, friend, the great need of the hour is not necessarily having my will done in heaven, but it is having God's will done on earth. And we must come to that place of saying, God, show me Your will and help me to see it accomplished in my life. And so He helps us to know our need, and then He intercedes on our behalf. The Bible speaks of this in Ephesians 1 and verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. You see, the Holy Spirit sees the bigger picture, and when He intercedes for us, He intercedes in such a way that He is asking that the will of God would be done in our lives on this earth. And so we hear today the Spirit of the living God. And He says, I want to provide a heavenly help for you. I want to help you when you have those times of difficulty. I want to help you when you're feeling those infirmities within your flesh. He says, I don't simply though want to help you. I want to help you according to my knowledge, because God says, I know what you need more than you really understand yourself. I'm going to pray according to the will of the Father for your life. Listen, I don't know about you. I thank God for that kind of direction. That's the compass that I need spiritually. And the guidance that I need is the guidance that comes from the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Then notice finally this morning, God says, I not only have a heavenly help for you, I not only have holy knowledge for you, but I also have a very helpful promise for you. I have a very helpful promise. And I want you to see this as we close. God is promising us in His Word that when we go through these times when we don't even know what to pray, and when the pain is so deep that we don't even know what to say, God says, when you are in those moments, I want you to know something. I want to give you a promise today that there is a reason for those moments, and that I have a purpose in those specific moments of your life. Now, let's read about that in Romans 8:28. Some of you have read this 1,000 times. Someone will read it today for the very first time. So everybody, find it in your Bible or in your notes, Romans 8:28, and let's read it together. Shall we? Ready? Begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Now, that's not bad if this was the United Methodist Church with a woman pastor. But something tells me we could pray a little louder than that this morning in this old-fashioned Baptist church. All right, we can read a little louder than that, rather. So let's read together, now that you found it, Romans 8:28. And when you get to the word no, let me hear it, all right? Romans 8:28, ready to begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according. Very good. That was much better. Now here's the promise from God. First of all, He gives us a promise of assurance. He says, I want to assure you of something. When you go through those times when your heart is aching, those times when you don't even know what to say, you're not sure what's going on in your heart, and you open your heart up to God and you ask Him to help you to pray because you don't even know what to say. And you say, God, I don't even understand my heart, but You know my heart. You search my heart. And so, God, help me to pray according to Your will, not mine. God says when you are in those moments of pain, when you are at that tipping point in your life, God says, I want you to make sure you understand something. And that is, I want to assure you that all things, every experience, work together. They're working synergistically for good. And you see, someone said, earth is the place of trust and heaven is the place of understanding. We're going to understand it better by and by, but until then, we must trust that God is working all these things together for good. In other words, whether it's family pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's some series of circumstance that it just, they came in series of three, Pastor Chapel, all the trials come in threes. Whatever it is that you're experiencing, as the Spirit of God ministers to your heart, as He helps you to pray, as He says what you cannot say, God says, this is not a silly game. He says, I want you to know there's a reason for it, and this is all going to work together for good. All of these events will occur for a reason. So there is a promise of assurance, and secondly, there is a promise of purpose. God says, I have a purpose here. I'm not going to waste this trial, and I don't want you to waste this trial. There is a purpose through this time. Life is not a continuous trail of events that are meaningless and out of control. Life is not a fatalistic train ride where God's up in the engine not knowing where to go or what's going on. My friend, God knows exactly what's going on today. And He is in control this morning. He is a sovereign, loving God who has a purpose in every event of our life. He does not necessarily plan every calamity, but He will bring a purpose by way of every calamity for the life of the believer. And what is the purpose, someone says? And how could God have a purpose in such a moment of pain? And how could God have a purpose in such a moment which I find even the inability to express how I feel to the point that without His Holy Spirit, I could not even pray? How does God have a purpose in times like that? And what is His purpose? Well, He's already said all these things work together for good. But notice it says, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I don't know about you. I'm glad to know that God has a purpose for my life and for your life. This is not some evolutionary accidental existence today, but we are here by God's divine appointment. So what is His purpose when our heart is aching? First, His purpose is that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. He says, here is your opportunity in your weakness to find my strength. Here is your opportunity in your weakness to become more like my Son. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God says before you were ever saved, He had a predetermined desire and plan for your life. And that desire and plan is that you would become more like Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you would say, boy, I got a way to go, Pastor? All right. But how many of you who raise your hand would also say, but thank God for His grace, because only God knows where I would be today apart from His saving grace. All right. So we're on a journey. None of us are perfect, but we're on a journey of conformity. And we're not conforming necessarily to just the nuances of Christianity and hopefully not the nuances of culture. We are to be conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory and honor. The fact that we are predestinated, John Phillips said, for glory cannot be altered for another reason. Predestination relates itself not only to the daily concerns of men, but also the eternal counsels of God. And so God says, I have a purpose for your life, and that is that you might become more like Jesus Christ. And then secondly, that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, when your child is well behaved and your child says thank you, and your child could have gotten in a bad way, but instead chose to do that which is right. And someone says, that was wonderful how your child behaved. You are able at that moment to say, glory to God. Amen. Thanks be to God. God's at work in his life.
Someone says, why? That was an amazing thing what happened at Lancaster Baptist Church. How they went out and how they helped folks that were victims of the fire and how they gave out food and water and how some accepted Jesus Christ through that experience. And someone says, that was an amazing effort. And so we're able to stand and say to the reporter, glory to God for the way He worked in the lives of our church. Thanks be to God for members who had a responsive heart. Someone says it's an amazing thing that during the recession that a few thousand people can get together and hear preaching from missionaries and fill out cards and pledge more than $1 million to send overseas to foreign missionaries during a time like this. Just amazing, that $1 million commitment. And we're able to say, glory to God for the way His Spirit spoke and the way the people listen, and bring honor and glory to God for what He's done, because we are weak, but He is strong. You see. So the more we become like Christ, unselfish and giving and forgiving and compassionate, are you with me? The more opportunity we have to deflect the praise back to Him and say it's all because of Jesus that these great things have been done. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted Christ. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then your sins are washed away. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are on your way to heaven. If you have trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. And He comes today by way of His Word, and He says, when you are down, and when you are feeling out, and when you are feeling destitute within your soul, and you've prayed and cried to the point you don't even know what else to say, there's a helper. There's a heavenly helper. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And He knows, and He can make groanings for you. And He could bring your burden to the throne of grace. He's a heavenly helper. And He has holy knowledge. This Holy Spirit knows your heart better than you know your heart. And He knows how to pray better than you know how to pray. And He can bring things to the Father that will help you better than you would know how to seek the help of the Father. And all of this, He says, has a wonderful, helpful purpose. And the purpose is that as the Spirit brings you through this valley, this difficult time, people will see you still standing, still serving, still being faithful. And they'll say to you, it's amazing how you're doing. And you'll say to them, it's all because of Jesus. His Spirit knew what I didn't know. His Spirit helped me to pray when I didn't even know what to say. To God be the glory. Great things He had done.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.